One
get that buttery bass in my ears.
Is everything plugged in?
I don't know if this term has ever been coined, buttery bass.
I don't know.
Sounds so dirty.
It is. I'm pretty sure that's what we do when we bake a cake. We put a buttery base in the pan, and then we get after it.
Cornbread always starts with the buttery base.
That's right. I like more the velvety baritone.
I feel like most things in life start with a great buttery base. All right. Well, here we go then. Welcome back, everybody, to the Functional Life Podcast. We are coming at you. It's been a while. I would do our normal intro where we tell you that we are here to talk about all things that make up a fun and functional life. But not that this isn't a functional life episode or not a fun episode, but yeah. We had something planned to drop, and we are actually going to put that on hold. So stay tuned for that in a minute. We will get back to talking about some good old stuff around the functional life and fitness and health and all those sort of things. But this is out here for sort of immediate release. We want to jump and get this out here.
I mean, does this qualify like an emergency podcast episode?
Yeah. Emergency press conference.
Yeah.
That's kind of, you talk about that. Yeah.
Like we need the sounder going up. Burr, 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 burr.
Alerts. If there's some red lights that could spin in here, that would help. You just get us in the mood. We've always, of course, introed and outroed this podcast talking about sponsors, someone we've worked with, and that of course is Lululemon. And we won't do that today, but we are going to talk about Lululemon in depth a little bit. We've had a little bit of an incident here in our community, and I wanted to come on if I can, Jason. You've actually done several episodes where you've kind of interviewed me about business, about health, about fitness.
Yeah.
So I wanted to introduce this episode, and if I could, just take a little minute to maybe interview you little bit. And I don't know that everybody out there that's listened to us, I think most in our local community here would know one of the reasons that we have Lululemon as a partner and we did an episode at their store is, to be frank, Jason's wife is an employee at Lululemon. Was for how long?
2 years, I think.
2 years, yeah. An assistant manager, I believe.
Yeah, she was operations manager.
Operations manager, good role. And we've had other part members of my gym here in Johns Creek and our community here that have worked there. So we've had a lot of, for lack of a better word, synergistic relationships there for a long time. And I don't know that was ever clear. And I'm not saying that's why that we worked with that brand and loved it, but it was a part of it. It was sort of in the family, so to speak. And a couple weeks ago, I guess this probably started actually about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
That sort of all came to an end, and I wanted it's before everybody, or maybe simultaneously as everyone's going to hear about it online, and this is sort of kind of blowing up in the news and going, I don't know if viral's the right word. I don't always know what that word means, but it's gaining attention for sure. We wanted to give ourselves, and specifically Jason, and maybe in a future episode you will hear from his wife Jen and my wife, I think they are going to join us for a fun episode, but especially Jason, an opportunity to share how he saw this side of the story go down and why we're no longer sponsored or partnering with Lululemon for what we do, for what I do as a brand ambassador here at the gym. I did resign yesterday under that role. So without any further ado, Jason, just take us back probably 3 weeks ago, maybe even before that, and as you see it and you understand it, what was going on?
Yeah, so the end of the story, so to speak, is that Jen and another lady that worked at Lululemon were terminated 3 weeks ago for breaking a employee handbook policy. Mm-hmm. They had a string of thefts over the last few months. Where a group of folks would come into the store with masks, not COVID masks, but like bandana type mask and hoodies, and run in and grab clothes and leave. And as Jen was explaining it to me in previous weeks or months, she'd say, we got hit again tonight. And in my mind, it was somebody walks in, grabs a t-shirt, kind of sneaks it under their arm, and then just strolls out.
Yeah.
I guess I'm thinking back to what it would look like when I was 6 years old and would steal a pack of bubble gum and was scared to death.
Yeah, we've all been there. Yeah.
but then on this particular episode, the last one, as it were, that resulted in their terminations, one of the other ladies that was working with her recorded the incident. Mm. And that night when she came home and I saw it, I was startled. It's jarring. It's not just some person walking in, sneaking something under their arm, and walking out.
Yeah.
It is three or four folks coming in, running, grabbing arm loads, you know, regardless of what you do or don't do, say or don't say, like they're grabbing as much as they can and then bolting to a getaway car that's parked outside.
Okay.
And it's hectic. It's scary. When you watch it, it's, I mean, your adrenaline spikes because it's a jarring video. And from the moment I saw that, I told Jen, I was like, I don't think I'm comfortable with you closing again if they don't make a change in their policy. Otherwise, I'm going to come up there and sit in the store because it's just, it's scary. And
yeah,
this was some like 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th time that these guys have done this, like a lot of times.
To be clear, it's the same group of people every time.
Same group of people.
I think that's important detail that people would need to note. I think that's important. It's been sort of glossed over a little bit, but it was always the same group of
people. Same group of people as far as we know. They're masked up. So, I mean, like,
yeah,
you don't have a lot to go on, but it seemed like it. But so a few of the pertinent details are, you know, in any retail industry, they advise you not to get involved.
Sure.
Which is for the safety and protection of the employees. So if somebody starts robbing, step back, clear a path, let them get out.
Yep.
And that is fine. That's probably a really good policy just in general to have. Where it broke down here is this had happened, you know, so many times, and it was always right before close, you know, like in the last hour before they closed the store. So either dark or dusk. And so you got to paint your picture. You're working there. Most of these are young ladies. So it's not like big, physically imposing people. These guys come in swiping all these things, and it's jarring. It's startling. Well, you still have to close the store, and then it's dark now, and you have to walk to your car.
Yeah.
Are they still out there?
Right.
It's just scary.
Yeah.
And so especially as it happens over and over and over, there becomes an environment, and the ladies were all talking about it, as are we going to get hit tonight?
So it's like a pattern was developing.
Well, it was certainly a pattern within the employees of not knowing when it was going to happen because it kept happening.
Right.
And that's kind of one of the worst places to be in as a person of just waiting on it. It's just scary and stressful. And so this evening happened to be the first time Jen had been present when a theft had happened. So this was her first time. She had obviously heard about it as a manager and been hearing about it, but she hadn't been there when it had happened.
Okay.
So this was her first time, and her natural response, you know, you've got an amygdala that takes over in a scary situation, and it's fight, flight, or freeze.
Yeah.
Well, apparently she's got some fight in her because she walked at them, protected herself, protected her colleagues, protected the store, said, get out.
Yeah.
Get out. Stop doing what you're doing and get out.
She yelled at them. She didn't try to tackle them or anything like that.
No, but she definitely walked at them to get them to, like, usher them out. Yeah. And no, she didn't approach them, like she didn't touch them. But one of them like bumped into her as he was running out. Yep. And the other lady that was recording all this, like, you don't have to take my word for it. You can watch it. It's on a Facebook post that I made.
Yep, it's
out. You can watch it happen. You can hear what Jen is saying, and the other lady records it all the way. They walk outside to try to get a glimpse of the getaway car's license plate.
Yeah,
because at this point they've had enough and they're going to call the police.
Yeah.
And so we'll pause the story right there. So one of the things that I want to make sure is very clear, they were terminated for breaking the employee policy of not getting involved or interfering in a robbery, which they did.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to walk outside the store or follow them, which they did.
Sure.
So those were the reasons why they were terminated, which on some level makes sense if you've got a zero tolerance policy and they did those things. That kind of makes sense.
Fair enough.
So I want to clear that up. The news ran a story where their version of it was they were fired because they called the police. And that's just not true. They weren't fired because they called the police. They were fired because of these other things. Did calling the police add into the motivation? I don't know. That would be speculation. But as part of the protocol at Lululemon, when something like this happens, you don't call the police. You scan a QR code, which notifies the incident to the internal Lululemon
asset recovery team, I believe.
And it's logged. Thank you for letting us know.
And they take it over from there, supposedly.
Well, I guess nothing's ever been done. And so what taking it over means, I don't know. It feels like a black hole to the employees.
Yeah.
And so this night.
Do you, well, back up. As far as you know, it when they scan that QR code, do they speak with someone on the from that team? Or is it just like an electronic? You wouldn't know.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I don't know that they've ever talked to anyone. I haven't heard of that. I feel like I would have, but I can't answer that.
Yeah.
So this night they called the police. They called the Gwinnett PD. They showed up very quickly. Four officers who were thrilled to be there. I mean, that's why they work, to protect the community. They gave statements, took down what they knew, took their video, easily found their license plate because there's cameras all over the place. So with the description of the car and everything, within a couple minutes, the PD had the license plate. They knew exactly who they were. The next day, the same crew went down to Peachtree City, Lululemon, and did the exact same thing. Some bystanders there called the police down there. Police actually caught them. And then between the two incidents, the dollar value was enough to be felony charges instead of misdemeanor. So they went to jail.
Wow.
Yeah. So had Jen and the other lady not reported it, Gwinnett PD wouldn't have known about it. They wouldn't have had it registered. And had it happened the next day as it did, they would have been arrested, but it would have been misdemeanor charges. So they'd probably be released.
Wow.
And so by doing what they did, which I think all of us regular citizens would say what they did was awesome and to be commended.
Yeah. Heroic in a way.
It worked in that that's how the system is supposed to work.
Yeah.
Criminal does an activity, citizens call, police investigate, they get arrested and go to jail. Like, yep. That's sort of how it's supposed to work.
So that's the incident. So apparently that was happening over and over, that Jim only had one exposure to it. Thank God I didn't know that. Take us now about a week after that. I mean, that this happens. I saw the story on a local news channel about them getting arrested. Unrelated to Jen, Rachel, Am. I think it was the Fox affiliate here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Did a story kind of giving some of those details that you mentioned and say, hey, these suspects have been apprehended and charged. And that was great. We I know locally here kind of clapped for Jen, because it was like, hey, you had a part in this, and like you said, the system worked, and that's due in part to your actions.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she was applauded within Lululemon. I'm guessing it sounds like not. So take us then a week later. What happened?
Yeah. So
Jen goes back to work for the next week. Everything's fine.
Yeah. She's working. She gets a follow up Zoom call with management to review the incident, which is very normal, I'm assuming. Yeah. But the nature of the call was, tell us what you understand about the employee handbook policy. Mm. So it's pretty clear that they were documenting this. And in my mind, I was like, okay, that makes sense too. This is an HR type of thing. So they're going to document it, and you probably get your wrist slapped and
incident report.
So that all seemed normal. So both she and the other lady had Zoom calls separately, you know, where they told what they understood of the policy and recounted the story. And the store has video internally as well. So they saw the video, so they know exactly what happened. And so it was stressful, but that was kind of it. Jen was a little frustrated just that she got her hand slapped.
And that the nature of the call was more about what she understood about the handbook and this, and less about, hey, are you okay?
I think, to be fair, I think their regional manager the day after called to check on her, like, hey, are you okay?
Yeah.
So I do think there was some care and concern locally.
Yeah.
But once that's over, then it becomes, you know, like corporate policy, and that's, you know, unemotional. That's just documentation. And
sure.
And so it seemed like that was over. And then I guess a few days later on a Sunday evening, she got a text, hey, we need to have one more Zoom call tomorrow morning. And she even asked, like, what's the nature of this call? Like, I feel like we covered everything. And they didn't really say. And so the next morning she gets on the Zoom call, and the opening remarks are officially, you know, effective immediately. You've been terminated for breaking employee policy. And there's a zero tolerance policy here. Goodbye. That's it.
There was no, so between that time and the first Zoom call, there was no mention of, you know, I, for lack of a better word, I would say coaching. Let's review the handbook policy. Let's, hey, we know this is the first time this ever happened to you. Let's just go through what we would like you to do. There was none of that.
No, there was none of that. And furthermore, I mean, it's important to say, you know, Jen was the operations manager, which is the number two person in that store.
Like, sure.
She had been promoted three different times. Exemplary employee, yeah. Leader of the place, as was the other lady. She was a veteran 5-6 years and one of the key leaders as well. And so these are excellent employees. And you would think that would be the natural response. Let's coach you up. You know,
yeah.
Especially for Jen. This is your first time.
Yeah.
We understand, like, that's a scary situation. You know, there's a million, for a company like Lululemon and many companies out there, they espouse to be all about their people.
Right.
And so you can think of many responses that would be pretty normal if you're all about your people. That sounds like it was very stressful, maybe even emotional. Can we get, you know, pay for counseling for a couple of sessions just so you right. feel supported?
Right.
Can we hire a security guard for the next couple of months just so everybody in here feels a little more secure? Could we contact the police and see if they want to post somebody like undercover in the store in the evenings or want to do more patrols through the park to try to dissuade this? I mean, there's a lot of things that a company, if they actually care about their employees, a lot of steps that could have been taken.
Yeah.
But especially after so many incidents and nothing really being done, other than I think Jen and a couple of the other managers did talk to the forum, the little shopping center security guards, and said, hey, this is happening. And they increased their, you know, patrol routes, so to speak, but
yeah.
They're kind of rent-a-cop type folks. And the guys just waited until the car pulled away and knew they wouldn't be back for 30 minutes or an hour. So,
sure.
So anyway, that was it.
Okay. So that's the story as you see it. And again, everyone, listen, this is Jen's husband talking, but he's getting it from her. And we're not going to get into the debates of the details and the telephone game and all this. We're going to take that at his word and the heart of what it is. And I think if Jen were here, she would say, yeah, that's pretty much how it happened. I want to pivot then and change sort of the focus now a little bit, because I remember in the aftermath of that, like, we've always, this podcast is not a political podcast. It's really not even a business podcast. We've done pretty well not to skirt, you know, the lines on those sort of things. We kind of keep that out of public consumption. And I don't think that our views on this from the beginning were political or corporate or anything other than, hey, I care about Jason. Jason cares about Jen. I care about Jen. These are just people. We care about people. These are people's lives.
Yeah.
So I will say from the beginning, I remember the aftermath of this, Jason, you and I were talking, and, you know, there were feelings like, hey, is this something we hired an attorney over? Like, is there a case here? Like, she's got to find another job now. Like, this is, and I remember Jen's, even her, as you related to me, first response was heartbroken and upset, but not like vindictive. It's like, no, well, I've got to go find another. Like, I broke her rule, got fired. In the aftermath of that, I remember us talking, and even the talk around the community here wasn't so much about, I guess in the legal sense, they would use the words wrongful termination.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, and you can call this my political stance if you want, but it's really just my business stance. I own a business too. I believe that you can fire someone for just about any reason you want to. Now, I know in the corporate world, especially with public companies, that's not actually the case.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it is, because if a company wants an employee gone, they can find a way.
Yeah.
They may have to jump through some loopholes, but they can find a way to get rid
of it. Yeah, outside of just outright discrimination, you can fire someone
for pretty much
any reason.
And I guess the legal word that we've heard here in Georgia is at work at will state. Is that right? I'm not familiar with the term.
Yeah, at will.
At will. So that's funny. My name is Will. So I get a lot of working at will. but I, you know, so on the surface, when they were terminated, it sounded crazy to me, because I'm an employer too. And if maybe she'll hear this, but I have to give you an example. I have one employee who is categorically late to her shift all the time. It's always the same excuse, but she's also an amazing employee. And, would I say I have a zero tolerance policy for that? Maybe, but it's like, for me to terminate her after the first time of messing up would seem insane, because I'm actually losing more than she is at that point. And yeah. our community here would be losing more. And I'm just looking through that lens and saying, Lululemon, that was awfully fast to rush to judgment on that. So with that being said, I think there's some opinions like you shouldn't have fired her, but hey, you know, that's your all's choice. It is. If you think she broke a rule and she did in fact break a policy, and they're going to, you know, I know how handbooks are, and we all sign handbooks probably without reading the whole thing. And maybe she did read it, and we can sit and guess at all that stuff all we want. The problem from what I heard around the community here, Jason, this is what I want to get your take on, is less about that. It's more about the fact that they had something happen over and over and over again. The same people, the same incident in a cyclical pattern. And for what sounds like 9 or 10 times, did nothing to prevent it from continuing to happen.
Yeah.
Now, is that illegal? No, I guess it's not. It's not. But it does seem unethical. It does seem wrong. Because as you said, it is preventing the system from working. Now, we know the system in lots of cases is broken.
Yeah.
There's probably more cases out there the system doesn't work than when it does.
Yeah.
But at the very least, if you don't give the system a chance to work, you can promise it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Right? Is that similar to how you feel? Is like, hey, I'm not actually as mad that I'm upset that my wife was fired, but I'm actually more upset that this is a workplace culture where we are throwing our hands up at criminal activity. Allowing it. We know what's going on in the news. I mean, we see the news in San Francisco and Portland, these cases right now, and there's argument, and I get that a lot of it's political, some of it's racial. And I hate that. I've never viewed it either way. I don't view this as a political issue. I view it as, hey, we have laws. For some reason, laws are being allowed to be broken. And that definitely doesn't seem to be working, because all that is doing is encouraging other lawbreakers to break the law more. I mean, that's if you were allowed to steal that pack of bubble gum when you were a kid. I stole packs of baseball cards at the grocery store when I was a kid. If my mom didn't call a police officer and have him come talk to me, I probably would have kept doing that.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's tacit approval if whoever's in charge allows it.
Right. So is that sort of now, sitting here 3 weeks kind of later, is that your gut reaction is more upset about that? Or...
I would say there's a few things that I'm upset about. The first one is just the injustice of the process.
Yeah.
You have excellent employees who did what a lot of people would say is admirable, courageous,
yeah.
brave.
Yes.
Did they break a company policy? Sure. Is that a fireable offense? I'm not so sure about that, but I understand even if they have to have a zero tolerance policy to dissuade that activity, then have that policy, but do something that's right about it. Congratulate the people, give them a nice severance as a, hey, like we understand, like we have to do this publicly because of our policy, but man, privately, we were really proud of you. That was courageous. You protected our store.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Or can we hire some recruiters to help you with your resume and to help you find somewhere? A lot of companies that have to do layoffs, they do that. They do a severance, and then they also recruiters to help the people like soft landing and find something else. That's what caring about your employees looks like.
Right.
So the first part is the injustice of the bullshit of saying, I care about my employees, but I actually don't back it up with my actions.
Right.
I can't live well with that. Like that doesn't sit well with me. And then, yeah, secondly, overall it's not political, it's societal. That's the real word here is in this instance, you've got an employee and an employer. Something criminal happens. Something has to be done. If you're asking your employees not to do anything, not to interfere, then that implies that the employer is going to do something because something has to be done.
Correct.
Otherwise, we're in a lawless world.
Right.
Right. So you have this happen over and over and over and asking the employees not to do something while also the employer is not doing something. It's going to break at some point. I mean, I've gotten multiple messages over the last couple of days from random Lululemon employees or former Lululemon employees all over the country who something similar has happened to them. Wow. And so this is clearly a company policy that is just asinine, and it's bass ackwards from what just the foundation of America has to be, which is if you do criminal activity, you're reported to the police and prosecuted.
Right.
That's just Otherwise, it's a lawless place.
It's how it works.
Look at, I mean, you mentioned it, but it's a real episode in our face right now of San Francisco and Portland, where they've passed edicts where if it's under $1,000 of merchandise, you don't even report it.
Right.
Which is then tacit approval. Hey, everyone.
Go steal $1,000.
As long as you keep it under $1,000, it's free to you.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder Whole Foods and Target and other people are pulling out. Walgreens now has the entire store behind plexiglass and locked, and an employee has to walk a customer around, unlock each one, pull out a pack of gum or deodorant or toothpaste, and lock it back up. How is that an approval like to the society that we want?
Right.
And then finally, the reason I spoke up is because I firmly believe that if good people stand by and say nothing, then this is the world that we're going to get.
That's right.
And I don't have a ton of influence. I don't have a ton of followers. I'm not like big on social media. So I don't have like this big platform where I can make sweeping change. But I have to say something.
Right.
I can't not say something. Otherwise, I'm complicit.
Right.
At this point. That's how my brain works. I'm not saying that's like the rules. That's how my wiring is. And I can't be complicit with that.
Right.
I'm going to stand up and I'm going to support my wife and I'm going to stand up for my wife.
Right.
And for the current employees and the future employees of Lululemon. Because as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, we've got to know a lot of them. A lot of them are personal friends.
Yeah. And they're great.
And they're great. I would love to shop at Lululemon again. I like their clothes, but right now they won't get another cent of my hard-earned dollars.
Yeah.
Because this is an asinine policy that I cannot support.
Yeah. Well, and that makes total sense. If I was in, when I heard this, when I was thinking, if I was sitting in Jason's shoes, I think I would feel a similar way. If my wife was working at the store alone with just another female or two at night closing, and this was happening over and over again, I think I would feel the same way. And then my mind, Jason, immediately went to the fact that I own a business here. Now, I have a business. For some reason, and maybe this isn't right, but look, I was a man that was raised in the South. I think about respect and dignity for women differently than I do men. I just do. And whether that is a slap on my equality views or not, I think that all employees deserve to be safe for sure. But I do, you know, call it the way I was raised. I do think that women deserve an extra bit of care in this sort of ways. And I own a gym here that is also mostly staffed by women. And I am surrounded in life by a lot of very strong women that, frankly, make my life a whole lot easier and better, whether it's at home or at work. So I'm here to do whatever I can to elevate women, to protect them, to applaud them in cases where they do something like this that's heroic. So my first thought was, I don't see if someone was coming in my gym cyclically, say every Monday night, and robbing my gym. Now, that'd be very difficult to do. They'd be a sweaty mess by the time they got out of here in my gym. Anything they could steal. Clothes are a little bit different. But if any criminal at all, for whatever reason, was coming in my gym and I knew about it, I would for sure myself be here the next Monday. And it wouldn't take nine times. It would take probably one, maybe two. If it was repeated twice, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I would report it. Absolutely, I would tell my employees to report it. Now, I'm a small business. I'm a nobody. I'm not a publicly traded corporation. So maybe do I have to worry about my image less? I don't think so. I think in these cases, you worry about image zero and you worry about your people first. So my first thought wasn't anything about wrongful termination or handbooks or policies. My thought was, this sounds more like implicit workplace endangerment. And not purposefully. It's not like they are purposefully putting their employees in harm's way. They are passively doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're passively, like you said, doing it by doing nothing. So if something happened nine times and it was clear, I want to make sure that everyone understands that here we are hearing, you're hearing our side of the story, specifically Jason's side of the story, which is coming through Jim. When Lululemon's going to have their own side of the story, I'm sure, if and when they're interviewed. And I have had the opportunity to speak with some people that work there, and they really have nothing to do with it and don't understand any of this either, quite frankly. But if something happened 9 or 10 times, it did become clear that they did not call the police, because the police department said that. No one has alerted us, right? Like, why has anybody called us? They had no clue.
Right.
So my first understanding was that that QR code, what I've been told, was that that's supposed to trigger that team to contact law enforcement and then to track the assets. This has never been about the clothes of the assets from the beginning. I want to make that clear. I don't think you care about the clothes being stolen.
No.
And if Lululemon doesn't care about their clothes being stolen, no sweat off my back.
Right.
If same with Walgreens. If they can lock it up behind plexiglass or they can leave it out in the open, if they don't want to report their clothes being stolen and just let it go, that's none of our business. I hate the fact that it probably does inadvertently jack up the prices that people are paying for the clothes.
Yeah.
Because that has to be accounted for.
Sure.
But I understand these things are insured and, you know, clothes are clothes, but people are people. That's the problem for me.
Yeah.
Lives are at stake here. So when I thought about this, I thought the same thing that we see in other cities. Thankfully, this group of shoplifters were not violent. And I think in most cases, shoplifters probably aren't violent.
Right.
But the problem I have is that if there's a place that's pretty much free reign for theft, is what's to stop them from calling their buddies or calling other I don't know, gang members, criminals, whatever. I don't know. I'm assuming that people that do this regularly don't hang out with a lot of really great, ethical, upstanding citizens. Just my assumption.
Yeah.
What's to stop them from calling their friends and them coming in and doing it?
Well, that's the thing, is if all right, this doesn't pass the sniff test. If I just changed one part of the story, if I said, hey, 3 weeks ago, some criminal robbers came into the store and shot and killed my wife.
Mm.
And it had happened 8 or 9 times before and Lululemon had done nothing. I would own a fairly substantial stake of Lululemon's company right now.
Absolutely.
Bar none.
Absolutely.
That's where, like, I get so fucking fired up.
Yep.
Is because it's so easy to see how wrong this is. But because nothing happened, it doesn't get a whole lot of attention because everybody's fine.
Well, it is getting the attention.
Unfortunately. It's very infuriating on that point. But there's two sides to this coin. I'm very fired up on some of this, personally.
Sure.
But there's so many cool aspects to this. I want to highlight a couple of these. Number one, I was talking to Jen last night, and I told her like my stance on why I posted my thing on Facebook. I said, number one, I want to. I'm built that way. Number two, on some level, that's why I work out hard and I'm a big dude.
Mm-hmm.
So that if and when I need to stand in the gap for my friends or my family, I can.
Yeah.
And she said, well, that's actually kind of what I felt that night. Like, I'm a strong woman. Like, yeah. I work out. I'm strong. I'm not a waif. I'm not going to back away.
Yeah.
And she's like, I didn't think about it. It wasn't premeditated, but you saw what happened in the video. I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that's a badass person.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Secondly, so many people have been supportive. I got a message today on LinkedIn. And this is how crazy this world is and how there's so many beautiful parts. I got a message on LinkedIn that said, hey, I'm at Peachtree Corners. I just heard about what happened with your wife at Lululemon. And I want to offer to help however I can, if I can review her resume with you or if I can open doors to anybody in my network to help her find a job.
Wow.
I don't know this person from Adam. This isn't somebody who's a connection of mine.
Wow.
I've never met this person in my life. And so there's a lot of, and I've had a lot of those from people I do know. And so there's a lot of heartwarming things that come out of this.
Yes.
You could see in human nature and community. And that's one of the beautiful pieces about when something like this goes down as well.
It is. You shared that with me before you went public, is that you were nervous. Cause you want what's best for Jen and to move on. But you also said, and I would say, you know, I'm going to go for this, and my prayer is that God will use this as he sees fit and use it for good, whether that means changing policy to help future employees. You never did this to get anything personally out of it for yourself, really. You don't expect them to come offer you a check now at this point or anything like that.
No.
And that's just to show you that when you do things for the right reasons, the right actions, that seems like good things happen.
Yeah, and I can report that there's already been a small policy change. The week after Jen and the other lady were terminated, they had a leader meeting in the Peachtree Corners Lululemon where the people who were left were hot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jen and this other lady were highly liked, highly valued,
right.
And they've all been through this.
Right.
So it's not like everybody else hasn't been through a robbery. And they were fired up. And that resulted in the local management saying, well, if you ever feel unsafe, you may call the police. So a small change has already happened. And that,
thank you.
But still, that's substantive. That's a change that has already happened out of this that hopefully multiple of them have texted Jen and this other lady since and just said, thank you. Just that these guys got arrested, we feel better. We feel more safe. Nobody's hit the store since.
How about that?
How about that? So there's good things that come out of that. It's just, unfortunately, there's a personal side of this to us that that just sucks.
Yeah, I completely understand, Jason. And you should feel that way. It's okay to say that it sucks. It's okay to say that it hurts. It's okay to be mad about it. And I was just more angry about it. I've, for the community to know, I think my role, as it was defined, it was an ambassador to the community. I'm supposed to represent, howsoever I can, Lululemon's culture, its values, its brand, its mission to the community. Promote that in the community. And it became clear to me that I needed to step away shortly after this happened, because first of all, up until now, I haven't had a whole lot of things to talk about in my local community. There hasn't been a whole lot of buzz about it. And I guess that's part of my role, is to generate that buzz until this. And as I told the leaders that I work with there, this is now hyper focused on my community. Yeah. This is my exact community. Everybody, when you posted what you said on Facebook, everybody immediately that liked, commented, or shared that were people I personally know, either through my gym or my church or through the schools here. Like, they are my circle. Yeah. And I was like, wow, now, unfortunately for you all, you have done something that has impacted my community, and it's impacted it negatively. The people that are commenting aren't saying, wow, I hope great job, Lululemon. They're saying, basically, we fucking hate you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a way to say it.
Yeah.
So it put me immediately in I wouldn't even say a weird spot, because I already knew my feelings on it, but it put me in a completely ineffective spot. And that's what I told them. I was like, look, at best, I'm completely ineffective as an ambassador now, but at worst, I actually don't align at all with your culture and your values if what I'm hearing is true. Now, to be clear, when I asked them about this, they said they're unaware of a policy where employees aren't allowed to call the police. Like, it's not that it's forbidden, but it sounds like it's more of these things where it's just discouraged. It's not saying you're not. First of all, I don't think it's legal in America to tell any American citizen that you're not allowed to call the police.
Right.
So that
they would never put that in writing.
But it's clear it was a culture of, instead of calling the police, please scan this QR code. It's more like that.
Yeah.
Because and so that's what they're taught and trained to do. And the problem with that is, like you said, when you are come in and you're put into shock, I've been subject to a home invasion. Mm. And I always laugh how my stepbrother, and there's other guys out there that, they always have these scenarios they put on their head. Like, oh, if someone broke into my house, here's what I do. I get this gun, I'd shoot him in the leg, then I'll hold him down, tie him up, call the police. They got this stuff. And I'm like, man, until it happens, you have no clue what you're going to do. You're not a trained Navy SEAL.
Right, right.
You're a dad waking up out of a stupor from sleep.
Right, and it's just adrenaline.
It is adrenaline and shock. And I said, when it happened to me, I couldn't even get words to come over my vocal cords. I was in such shock. It's almost like that dream when you're running from someone, you try to open the door, but your hands won't work.
Yeah.
That's how it feels. So when guys jump, when guys come in your store en masse and are robbing you, I can't imagine having the wherewithal to, okay, I need to go in the back room, I need to lock this door, I need to put this employee there, I need to go to the corner there, I need to get out my phone and open up my app and scan the QR code. Like, I just can't imagine any of that. You react how you react in a visceral way.
Yep.
Jen, fight or flight, like you said. It was a little bit of fight. Yep. I wouldn't call it fight, though. It's like, again, did she intervene? According to Lululemon, yes. And I guess we could say she did.
Yeah.
She intervened.
And she's a mama bear. She defended her place.
She's a mama bear. And she defended her brand and defended her place and defended her people.
Yep.
Now, she didn't tackle anybody or physically try them. That would have been dumb for her to try that.
Yeah.
What Lululemon would say, I would point this out to your scenario there. If you flip one thing, if she was shot, and that was it, they would say that that's why they have this policy in place, so that doesn't happen.
Sure.
Fine. And all that's fine. The problem still remains is that if you sit back and you let something happen over and over again, and what they are going to say, I'm assuming, we'll give them any opportunity. They can call us and come on the podcast if they'd like to. They won't, but they're welcome to. They may say, hey, we just know shoplifting is going to happen. Always happens. There's no stopping it. So we just want to stay out of it and not let our people get hurt.
Yeah.
Except that we've now proven that's not the case, because we, at least in our little pocket of Georgia, did something, these people were arrested, and it has now stopped. That's not to say no one's going to rob that store again. Surely they will.
Yeah.
But these people probably aren't.
Yeah.
And this cycle, this pattern that was happening has now stopped happening.
Yeah.
And now people there feel safer to work there.
Yeah.
So at the very least, Lululemon, I think, has some deep, deep soul searching to do on their policies, how they're training people to react. I think that they, and this is a financial thing, I think they have some things to look at about how they protect their stores if they see a cycle happening. Maybe they do divert some funding to a guard. I don't know. That's their business. They can figure it out.
Yeah.
What we're saying is doing nothing shouldn't be an option.
That's right.
Doing nothing results in nothing.
Yeah. And some of the true colors came out in one of these Zoom calls. Where not Jen, but the other lady was questioned, I guess is the right word, of, you know, why did you call the police? How does that look for Lululemon that we're the company that calls police on these people?
Yeah.
That reveals the ultimate bedrock of their decision making. It's about public perception of not calling the police, not being discriminatory or whatever else. And when that trumps doing the right thing, criminals don't have skin color.
No.
They're criminals.
Correct.
It's just a lawbreaker. And you call the law keepers, call the police. I mean, like it's kind of just plain and simple.
I'm so glad you pointed that out because for everybody listening to know, like, I know there are heated sides, and this is where it gets political on both sides. And there's certainly a bunch of redneck jerks out there that are biased and prejudiced against certain races and ethnicities. And that's terrible. It is. But from our view and from my view, I don't care what color their skin is. I don't care if they're white, black, Latino. I don't care what language they speak. If someone is coming in a mask and robbing the store, none of that matters.
No,
to me.
No, they're racist criminal at that point.
Right, that's right. Racist is a criminal. Yeah, is a lawbreaker.
Yeah,
and this is going to come out publicly, I'm afraid, in a debate of public opinion of almost a woke stance versus a feminist stance is what which is going to be.
Well, when your liberalism is killing your liberalism is where it just is mind-blowing. Yeah. Like,
it's going to be funny to watch.
Yeah,
frankly.
You didn't protect women because you didn't want to call the cops on criminals. Like,
right.
Well, which one?
Yeah.
Like, it's
going to be interesting, Jason, how that plays out. And again, that's not any of our business because that's never was the focus of someone that we care about. That's your wife. That's my friend. That's my client in my own gym. That's someone in our circle. We just care about the person. And I don't care about any of those sort of variables.
Right.
It's a criminal.
Yeah.
And I wish more corporations would look at it that way and quit worrying about what their image looks like and worry more about how their people are feeling. Because I can tell you right now, the one thing I've learned from business, I haven't grown a billion-dollar brand like Lululemon. I haven't. But I can tell you the one thing that I am 100% sold out on is that if you get good people and you take care of good people, good things will happen in your business.
Well, everybody will tell you your greatest asset in your business is your people.
Yep.
So that QR code for asset protection should be people protection.
Right, asset protection.
Those are your assets. Protect your people. That's all we're really saying here.
Yep.
Is do your bare minimum, which is protect your people. You're in a public-facing store. With protect your people.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and sharing this story. It is as I told when I resigned as an ambassador. Before I did that, I said, my worry, and I tried to give them fair warning. I said, my worry, this was 2 weeks ago, I guess. I said, my worry is that the best case scenario is this is going to blow over and it's not going to gain more steam. We can all move on. I said, the worst case scenario is this is going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And I'm afraid that's what's happening. By worse, I just mean more public. The media is picking up on this. It is going to be a growing story. It's going to be a polarizing story.
Yeah.
But it's a story that I'm happy that it's out there, frankly, because I think it needs to be told, and I think it can help people, and it already has.
Yeah.
So you've probably got more, you know, nights and days of work and phone calls ahead of you, unfortunately, and I appreciate you for taking those. Yeah. I know that Jen's not probably excited about a lot of that. She never wanted the publicity, to be clear.
No.
This was not, I think anybody that knows her, it can even see her in the interviews that are being done, that she's not excited to do this. She just wants to move on, find a new job, do something she loves, work with some great people, and put this behind her. But I'm glad, at least in this little small section of our lives, that this is getting some attention. I also want to say, and I think you would agree with this, Jason, that from my history here, this has nothing to do with the clothes. Once again, this has nothing to do with the people here locally. We've had I've had nothing but great experiences with the store managers and the ambassador team that I worked with. In fact, the conversations I've had with them, they were equally as heartbroken and shocked. This was not their call.
Yeah.
That was made pretty clear.
Yeah.
This wasn't their call. This was outside of their control. They had nothing to do with the criminal activity nor the response to that. So when I resigned, it wasn't to have anything. I have nothing but good things to say about the people here. These women, they're still great people working there. They're great managers there. It's a great team here. And I think they are heartbroken by this as well. They're stuck, you know, I'm sure, if they value their jobs and they have to follow the book, you know, buy the book.
And let me say, I'm sorry that this comes down to a place where it affected you needing to or wanting to or having to resign your ambassadorship. Like, that sucks. Like, that's just another domino and ripple effect of this that is just not a net good. And that sucks.
Sure. And I appreciate that. And it wasn't a hard decision to make. It does nothing for me to represent a brand that isn't protecting people I care about. That's easy for me. I don't. It's just a no-brainer. It's just a no-brainer. That's as clear as it is for me, is that I am about protecting the safety of my employees here. So I just put, again, myself in this, my business shoes on and say, hey, if I were to lose the female employees because they didn't feel safe at my company, I would be done. I might as well go home. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So that's because as easy as it is, as clear as it is for me. I will say, moving forward, you won't plug this as much, so I will, that if we've had lots of people reach out for support, say, what can we do? And I would say, share the word if you'd like to, if you feel compelled. If you don't, then don't. We don't care. We're not trying to be the vessel of it going viral necessarily. But if you feel compelled to share that, I've never been one that's a proponent of cancel culture and boycotts. Really, I don't. I've just never been on that. But at some point, I think people have the right to vote and choose with their pocketbooks and their wallets. The ironic part here is it doesn't seem like Lululemon cares about that because, it seems like you just go take whatever you want. Yeah, it seems a bit. But if that's how people feel so inclined, then that's fine. If not, they still make great clothes, and I'm not going to deny that. I think their clothes are fantastic. I just think corporately they have some policies they need to fix.
Yeah.
And then secondly, if people want to help, hey, the truth is, I'll plug it right now. Jen, she's updating her resume and she's going to be applying for such a job. If you know someone or you yourself is listening and would like to hire a badass person that works hard, cares about company she works for, defends her company that she works for, but more so than that, is just a woman of great integrity, character, work ethic, a great mom, a fit person, a strong person, then reach out. She'll be in touch. I would plug that.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah. We, this was always just a job and that's gone now. So now if she wants to keep working, it sounds like she does.
Yep.
She might be looking for a better opportunity out there. So good things will happen out of that too.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, good. Anything else you want to say before we close?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the last thing I will say as we exit this is just how proud I am of Jen.
Yeah.
I mean, when we told our kids, that's exactly how I stated it. I gave them the facts, and then I said, this is the kind of person you want to be like.
Yeah.
We all have the dreams like your buddies of, if I have a home invasion, here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
She was a part of it, and her natural instinct was, I'm a strong, badass woman, and I'm going to defend like a mama bear. There wasn't like that was gut instinct and just who she is as a person, and I'm just so proud of that and proud of her. So.
Yeah. Well, I am too, Jason. You should be. And I, you know, one thing I'm proud of our little gym is I think we kind of have a role in creating those kind of personalities.
The roster of those.
We have a roster. So I don't know if you want to take note of the stores, the people, the women in this gym work at. Those are probably the ones not to try to rob.
That's a fact.
Well, that's funny, but it's true. And she should be proud of herself, her kids. I mean, I can just imagine 20 years from now telling this story. Like, well, I remember my mom did this. Like, that's pretty cool.
Well, it'll grow. Like, once she gets a new job and all this is behind us. Story is going to grow. This fish that was 12 inches is going to be a whale of a fish.
She fought off a group of
bloody their nose.
Yeah, it was like Leonidas at Thermopylae at the gates.
Absolutely.
That's how I saw it.
Yeah.
I saw the video.
That's what's going to happen. I'm going to edit that once this gets done.
Yeah, we will. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for paying attention. And I know we've had lots of questions on this, and hopefully that clears the air a little bit. Jason got to get the full story out there.
Yeah.
You won't see the full story on the, you know, in 90 second clips on the news.
Right.
You won't even see it through the Facebook post. But if anybody has any questions, reach out to us. We're easy to find. We're happy to talk about it publicly.
I'm apparently very easy to find. I got a text today from a news outlet in New York.
Wow.
And my first question is like, this is cool. How'd you get my cell phone number?
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, do you have any real estate needs?
And are you looking to open an office in Atlanta?
Yeah. Like, well, this is what we do for a living. We have a way to finding people. And it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Well, so, well, there's going to be probably a little bit more of that before there's less of it, I'm afraid, Jason, yeah. But that's okay.
Well, hey, and we are looking for a new partner. So we do love Workout Clothes, of Vuori, or however you pronounce it. We'd love to know how to pronounce it.
We would go all the way up the ladder to Nike. I don't know if Jordan,
Reebok,
if you're out there.
Reebok, yeah, we're here.
We're not picking. I wouldn't call us brand slots, but you know, I mean, money talks.
It really does. Big money to our dozens of listeners. So
yeah. Oh, it's funny.
All right, play our outro music.
All right. Love y'all. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.